From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep, here with local news. Thanks for tuning in. The Juneau School Board took another step toward finding a new superintendent. At a special board meeting today, the board approved a contract with a national search firm to find its next leader in a 5-to-1 vote. The search comes after Superintendent Frank Hauser announced his resignation in September. The board approved a $29,000 contract with search firm McPherson & Jacobson. It's previously worked with two other Alaska school districts to hire superintendents, according to the firm's website. Board member Amber Fromhers was the only no vote. She says she proposed having an interim superintendent in place following Hauser's resignation, which the board decided not to do.
I'm struggling with this vote right now and still in the moment, still struggling in terms of the vote, as it's not the lack of trust in the committee, but in the general route.
During its last search, the board contracted with Ray and Associates and hired Hauser in 2023. Hauser was hired with a yearly salary of $185,000. He currently makes $197,000. The district will finalize a contract with the firm this week. Hauser's last day as superintendent will be June 30th. Here with local and statewide news. Thanks for tuning in. Eagle Crest Ski Area's gondola cabins are headed to Colorado next month for a repair and paint job. Cost for the work and shipping is expected to be around $450,000. The cost to bring other gondola parts to Juneau is expected to be even higher with tariffs. It's been more than 3 years since the city bought the used gondola system from Austria. The plan is to have it up and running by the summer of 2028, but the ski area continues to face timeline delays and financial hurdles. Craig Dahl is a special projects manager for the city. He gave an update about the city-owned ski area's ongoing gondola project during an Eagle Crest Board of Directors meeting last week. He says the gondola cabins were inspected in 2022 when the ski area purchased them and were deemed to be in good condition. But he says the refurbishment in Colorado will make the nearly 20-year-old cabins into like-new condition.
You know, we're talking powder coating all of the moving parts, replacing any parts that need repair or replaced, new glass, new paint, new floors, new seats.
The cabins are slated to be shipped out of Juneau in mid-January, and Dahl says they won't return until early 2027. The cost of the contract to refurbish the cabins is $414,000, but that doesn't include the cost to barge and truck the cabins to Colorado to get work done, which is an additional $37,000. And the recent Trump administration's tariffs on imports could raise costs even more. Parts of the gondola still remain in Austria, most of which are made of steel. At the meeting, Dahl says estimates to ship them to Juneau are still very much up in the air, but he anticipates they will tack on a significant amount to the project's overall cost.
I don't know the amount. We're probably going to be spending somewhere between $600,000 and $700,000 if we're not able to eliminate the tariff.
The ski area's financial future is riding heavily on the gondola. In the coming years, the ski area is slated to run into a multi-million-dollar deficit to repair some broken and aging infrastructure while boosting pay to employees and preparing to operate year-round. A local Alaska Native corporation, Gold Belt Incorporated, invested $10 million in the gondola in 2022 in exchange for a revenue-sharing agreement. But the project's overall cost is expected to exceed that. In that contract, it stipulates that the gondola must be up and running by the end of summer of 2028, or Gold Belt could reclaim its investment. Eagle Crest opened at a limited capacity this past weekend after an influx of snow. This year marks its 50th season as a ski area. And an Alaska Airlines flight headed from Juneau to Sitka this morning was struck by lightning just before landing. Passenger Kathy Fitzgerald was on board the 27-minute flight. She says the plane was briefly engulfed in a bright orange and gold flash.
It was like a giant flashbulb going off throughout the whole plane, you know, coming from outside, just this huge bright light. There was no loud sound. There was no shimmying or shuddering of the plane.
In her time flying through Alaska weather, she's never experienced anything like it. Fitzgerald was originally traveling from Anchorage, where Flight 62 originated, back home to Ketchikan with her family. The lake between Juneau and Sitka was part of the Milk Run and was supposed to continue to Ketchikan and Seattle. According to a spokesperson for the airline, lightning strikes are not unusual, and the airline's planes are designed to dissipate the electrical energy without damaging systems. The plane landed safely in Sitka, and the spokesperson said maintenance technicians were inspecting the aircraft as a precaution. The airline eventually canceled the flight. Congress approved critical funding for rural schools last week with the Secure Rural Schools Reauthorization Act. As KRBD's Sydney Dauphiné reports, that money is crucial for some of Alaska's small rural communities.
More than $12 million is set aside for Alaskan communities affected by the decline of the timber industry. That money goes to districts with large amounts of untaxed federal land and is distributed in annual payments to rural boroughs and school districts, including those near the Tongass National Forest in Southeast and the Chugach near Prince William Sound.
We had a big success. The legislature spoke with a unified voice that the secure rural schools needed to be reauthorized.
That's Representative Jeremy Bynum of Ketchikan. Bynum sponsored a resolution earlier this year to renew and permanently reinstate the program. He said when the funding lapsed the past 2 years, those smaller rural communities felt the impact.
Well, we absolutely noticed that not having that funding available put an immediate pressure on how do we backfill that funding.
In Ketchikan, the annual payments go to the borough and typically end up being between $1 to $1.5 million. In smaller communities like Wrangell, those payments end up being a big portion of the school budget. The Secure Rural Schools Act initially passed in 2000 in response to the decline of the timber industry. But that funding lapsed at the end of the 2023 fiscal year. With overwhelming bipartisan support, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to reauthorize that program through September of 2026, including 2 years' worth of back pay. Bynum says he knows this reauthorization isn't a permanent fix and that it will take work to find other ways to fill that gap and be less reliant on secure rural schools funds.
What I don't want to have happen is I don't want to end up in a situation where we let it lapse again. And then we're really kind of scrambling to figure out how to effectively do the backfill for our school funding.
Bynum says there's been discussion of filling that financial gap with longer-term logging contracts, but he doesn't believe that will be close to enough. He says those logging contracts aren't enough to see forest industries revitalized. The federal payment amounts are decided by how much money each community would have made in the height of the logging industry. For rural municipalities that have counted on this funding for over 20 years, losing it has been a big financial blow. Charlene Thomas is the finance director for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. She says without those payments, they might have to pull from the borough's general fund.
If we end up in a shortage in the local education fund, it could result in property taxes being raised to make up the difference, or supplementing it from the general fund, which could affect the sales tax needing to be increased. So it kind of has a domino effect. If one is shorted, it would definitely affect the other.
The Secure Rural Schools Reauthorization Act now heads to the president's desk. It's unclear when that will happen. Once it's signed into law, payments are expected to be distributed within 45 days. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Sydney Dauphiné.
Governor Mike Dunleavy is dropping a longtime priority ahead of next year's legislative session. At his annual holiday open house last week, Dunleavy told reporters he isn't planning to revive his push to reform the state's schools.
You know, I've always said this for year after year after year, that once the issue of money is settled, nobody wants to talk about policy. So unfortunately for us, I think we're going to skip over that this year, not from my perspective, but I don't think the legislature, enough of the people in the legislature, really have a desire to fix the outcomes.
Improving the state's public schools was the top issue in the last two legislative sessions. Dunleavy vetoed a series of bills seeking to boost public school funding, saying they didn't do enough to improve student performance. He instead called for a variety of reforms that he said would help Alaska's low test scores, in part by boosting charter schools and correspondence homeschool. But lawmakers overcame Dunleavy's vetoes to break the stalemate earlier this year. Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Himshute co-chairs the State House Education Committee. She says lawmakers will continue to look for ways to boost students' test scores, even with budgets expected to be tight this year.
We need to ensure the best value for the dollar. Obviously, accountability is very important. At the same time, we need to make sure that our kids have opportunities. And if we look to other states, there's a lot going on in other states that we could be doing here in Alaska.
She says she'd also like to see a smaller boost to public school funding this year to keep up with inflation. Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat who also co-chairs the House Education Committee, says she wants lawmakers to override Dunleavy's veto of a corporate tax bill tied to education funding.
Those dollars are scheduled to go for reading intervention and career tech. And that would just, to me, be a game changer.
Backers pitched the tax bill as a way to extract more state money from outside tech companies who sell to Alaskans. Dunleavy said he couldn't support it without a larger fiscal plan. Dunleavy said he hoped lawmakers would pass a bill that would create a pilot program of schools run by Alaska Native tribes. But Dunleavy told reporters his main goals for his final year are largely in other areas, including a forthcoming fiscal plan and preparation for a possible North Slope gas pipeline. And right now at the Juneau International Airport, it's currently 19 degrees with light snow and fog. Tonight, there's more snow expected with a northeast wind around 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow morning, there's snow expected mainly before noon with a high near 25. There's also currently a winter storm warning in effect until 9 a.m. tomorrow in an area that includes Juneau, Hoonah, and Tanapipe. Expect additional heavy rainfall with accumulations of 7 to 12 inches with winds gusting as high as 40 miles per hour. The National Weather Service says that if you must travel, to keep an extra flashlight, food, and water with you in case of an emergency. This is KTOO.